Alrighty guys, welcome back to another episode of the Onside Insight podcast. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and today we have Ziggy from Pro Fast Plastering. He's in here today to talk all things plastering and hopefully give you guys some insight into his journey. And yeah, Ziggy, thank you for coming.
Absolutely, thank you guys, happy to be here.
Yeah, you were very prompt today, that was good. I enjoyed that. So yeah, bro, I just want you to share with our listeners a little bit about you, where you started, where you're at now, and just a bit of a cap on, you know, yourself and your journey.
Well, my journey originally started back when I was a young bloke, as everyone's journey does. My my father actually owned one of the biggest plastering companies in central Queensland. So ultimately, it was always inevitable that I was going to follow in his footsteps, because I remember when I was a young bloke, going to work with him, doing sweeping and scraping for $5 a day.
Yeah.
And I remember back in the day, $5 was a lot of money. I'd go down the corner shop, get 4 ice creams and still have change.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I just pretty much did my upbringing, my plastering trade through him. I did chop and change with a few other people just because I've always had the mentality or the want to learn off other people, learn off other trades instead of just sticking with one person. So I've did a lot of my training not only with my father but also other bigger mobs too, and also smaller mobs. Did my apprenticeship through him.
And this was all up in central Queensland, was it?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I'm originally from Rocky and Emerald, born and raised.
Yeah, sweet.
So there's so many roads that I can take leading off from there as opposed to, you know, what it's like down here. But the mentality, even just doing my apprenticeship down in a small town like that, like a small country town, as opposed to the big city, you know, like Brisbane or Gold Coast, I found moving down here was very big.
Yeah.
Down there's more like tight knit. People take the time to sort of train you.
Yeah.
As opposed to down here, it's a completely different mentality.
Yeah.
Once you get to a certain point, they think that you're a tradie, or they just want to use and abuse you and be like, oh, okay, he's second year, let's just throw him in the deep end. But down there, it's not so much. But I think that's also moved with the times too a little bit. Back when I was a younger bloke doing my apprenticeship, and then obviously after I did my trade, I didn't jump out with myself straight away. I sort of did, I'd say, a good 4 years just subcontracting.
Yeah.
And I guess learning from the older generation and people that I knew were more knowledgeable for me. Because I thought and I felt more comfortable doing that to be able to learn the full trade, as opposed to what I see this day and age is people will go out, they'll get their trade, and then they'll just dive straight into owning a business. But I didn't feel comfortable with that. Even though my dad did run a very successful business, I also wanted to make my own reputation off my own back and not piggyback off his. So I felt moving away from him would benefit me a lot more and go and learn off like different people. That way I couldn't only learn different ideas, different aspects and different ways to create stuff and do the trade that I have now, but also get my name out and I guess my future brand that I knew that I would have. And moving forward from that, I did that, did a 4-year apprenticeship like everybody does, went out subcontracting for 4 years, and then ultimately had a bit of a fall off. Didn't really want to do plastering anymore. I didn't know what my life was doing. I got completely fucking off the rails with everything. And just went doing sales. I did door knock sales to try and like change and swap things.
Yep.
And then I went and fucking did bricklaying. I went and did roofing. I went and did concreting. I did everything because I thought, okay, because I was so young and I didn't know what road I wanted to go down, I was always had building and destruction in the back of my head. So I'm just like, okay, well, fuck, if I'm going to learn something, then I'm going to learn all the aspects of it. So I went and did that for fucking probably about a good 2 years and then came back to plastering, obviously. And then, long story short from that, just me and Dad teamed up, I guess, as a powerhouse a little bit more after I had done that and I felt a little bit more mature. And then we just pretty much moved around central Queensland. We had, at our prime, we had bases in Brisbane here, Gold Coast, Rockhampton, Mackay and Yeppoon. So we were like, we were pretty full on. And even today, people still know who my dad is because who we got trained by was an old crew called... what were they called? I can't remember what their name was off the top of my head, but the plastering company who actually trained my dad was one of the biggest in central Queensland too. And at the time, like at their peak, they knew everyone. Like they were building like freaking massive fucking outfits on like islands, shit down Brisbane here, Gold
Big
Coast.
Jobs,
yeah, yeah, like they owned everything, man. Yeah. It was fucking insane, some of the stories that he used to tell me.
Yeah.
So, ultimately moving forward from that, I just pretty much followed him around. He taught me more from what I thought I didn't know. We just moved around Central Queensland like any company does.
Yeah.
And then I just followed him and then eventually felt like I needed to move away from him and then started my own outfit.
Yeah. And is he still... Is there still that company still running in Central Queensland?
Yeah, yeah. So my dad's company is actually full on plastering.
Yeah.
Mine's obviously Profast plastering.
Yeah.
It's only probably been about the last 2 years where he sort of started to semi-retire now because he is getting older now.
Mm.
As everyone knows, plastering's a fucking very, you know, like strenuous job.
Mm.
And he's got a lot of injuries and pretty much worked his cunt off his whole life.
Mm.
So he's sort of semi-retired now, but we still do tackle Central Queensland together.
Yeah.
So he's still got some very big names that still contact him, like JM Kelly used to be one of them before he fucking fell over.
Mm.
Hutchies, all the mother mobs, they still ask him. So I guess ultimately what's happening now is we're sort of teaming up still, but he's starting to push that more towards my end of the field.
Yeah.
So I can sort of, I guess,
transition out,
I guess not really take the mantle, but sort of take a little bit of pressure off him because he's getting older now. He doesn't really want that much to 100%. Do with the business, so he's sort of trying to push it onto me a little bit.
So that was you're up there in Central Queensland, you're doing all that sort of stuff. How did it look transitioning down to here?
Very fucking big culture shock, man.
What was the reasoning? Were you just like, lifestyle?
No, well, originally the whole reason why I moved down here is because I was with my partner at the time.
Yeah.
And we pretty much had a really bad breakup. She ended up taking my son.
Yeah.
They're still back down in Rocky where I'm originally from.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, Rocky was a great place growing up, don't get me wrong, as a child. But it just got to the point where it was so toxic. All the trades were fighting with each other. It was cutthroat fucking industry. Like, you know, just using names like, you know, Jeff would put shit on fucking Adam and then Adam would put shit on fucking Michael just
small
to try.
Town,
yes, like small town mentality. Yeah. Like everyone would just want to cut each other's throat just to get work.
Yeah.
And not only in work aspect, but like personal life too. Yeah. So I thought, I always felt like I had bigger things for myself and like my life was bigger than what the actual town that I was in and I had bigger dreams and aspects.
Well, that's it. You want to be, you know, you don't want to be a big fish, you know, in a small pond. You you always want it to be the other way around. Man. So
I thought, you know, the only way that I can sort of progress, not only in like my work life, but like personal life, spiritual life, in all aspects of my life, was to get out of that small town mentality and move up to somewhere where I felt like I could actually grow.
Mm.
So I made the move down to Gold Coast originally, started subcontracting down here.
Yep.
At the time, I had everything taken from me. I had $1,000 in my fucking bank account.
Yeah.
I was completely skint.
Yeah.
I was getting my fucking car repossessed from me from what my ex had done to me. So I was literally
fucking hustle, bro.
Bare bones, man. Like fucking bare bones. Like I had absolutely nothing going for me. So I pretty much fucking found a plastering job, worked with them for hourly, got my bank back up, finished all my debt, got rid of that shit, probably worked on hourly for about 2 years. Went through all the motions like anybody would, paid off all my debt, got my bank back up, hustled, got another ABN, started another business, pretty much just subcontracting,
got
my name out there, and
that's
then just pretty much started fucking hustling and tackling everyone down here, right? And
that's
then I had a really, really big name for myself, but then it's a little bit toxic because my dad would always have like a hold over me and he would always dangle like a gold carrot in front of my head because he had a lot of money, he could do that. And because he had so much power with work and he's like, oh, he could see how well I was doing. And the name that I had down here, he's like, okay, well, I want that back. So then he dangled the golden carrot in front of my head again. I ended up going back down there, being based in Gold Coast, but working for him, pretty much traveling Central Queensland, had no fucking life. I would literally work like 2 or 3 months straight with no days off and then come home absolutely wrecked, destroyed, you know, fucking back in like toxic cycles, blow all my money, save a little bit, and then just keep doing that over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And that just got to the point where I was like, okay, well, what the fuck am I doing with my life? It's like, I can't keep doing this. I moved down to Gold Coast to get away from toxic, but now I'm back in toxic.
You're just living that fucking lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. And then that was the whole reason why I wanted to move away. And I thought to myself, I guess it was like the universal law of attraction. It's like you can't progress to the next stage unless you pretty much pass that test.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I had to keep passing a test to get to the next stage, but I kept getting looped back into the toxic cycle.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm. And I pretty much just did the same thing that I did years before. Just went, you know what, fuck it. Ended up giving him dad the flick and then pretty much moving back down here again full time to work. And then I had to rebuild my name back up and pretty much here I am today with ProFast Blast. Yeah. So I've pretty much done everything off my own back.
Yeah.
I haven't, as big as my father has been, I've never really had a lot of help from him because he is so old school. He's always been, he's always had that mentality of, okay, well, I'll help you a little bit, but the rest of it's on, like, the rest of it's on you. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, because he already had his life. He already had his business. He already had everything sorted out. And because of the upbringing that he had from his father, he felt that the need to pretty much, like, push that on me. So even though I did have a big backing from my father, from that past and his business and his reputation, I absolutely got fuck all from that. So even if I did want, you know, his build or all that money or this, you'd be like, no, go and do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I guess that's it. Like, a lot of guys, they, you know, definitely wasn't in this similar predicament. Like, personally, it was, you know, my old man was in the same sort of, you know, he's very much a hard worker. Taught me work ethic more than fucking anything else, you know what I mean? Didn't, never gave me anything, and fuck no. I guess the only thing that he really ever gave me was the work ethic and the drive and the determination. And you know, I guess to me that was probably the biggest thing he could have given me. You know, but there's a lot of guys that argue that, oh, you know, but he got given this, he was in this position, that's why he succeeded and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Right? But I guess you never know if unless you're in those fucking, in those boots, you know what I mean? Like, and it's a crazy fucking world that we live in with guys just throwing shit that way. But nah, man, it sounds like you know, that's a fucking big story, like going all the way from Rocky all the way down and everything else and building it back up. And yeah, so what are you doing now? So what's the style of work that you do now? Because obviously are you doing commercial sort of stuff now, resi stuff now? Have you got guys? Like, how does all that work?
So ultimately I have five blokes working for me directly. Most the other half or the other larger conglomerate of how I get my work done, or like anyone else gets their work done, is subcontractors. Mainly because everyone knows subcontractors are easy, they're usable, and they know the game. So they know that, okay, you're going to have this job this week, next week you're going to have to go and do something else, or you book them in. The style of work that I'm in now is not really, I guess, targeted on one area. I do all spectrums, like I do insurance work, I do renovations, extensions.
Whatever pays the bills.
Yeah, pretty much at the moment, man. It's like I do a lot of high-end houses too. I've got a very big reputation in regards to, do you know someone who can do this? Or no, I can't do that, but I know a bloke here. Cool, Ziggy. I guess I've always had that aspect, so.
Yeah.
But the end goal that I'm looking for my business is very high end.
Yeah.
So because of my background and the work and the jobs that I have done,
yeah,
I find it more, I guess, achieving for me if it's like, if it's a big job, as opposed to just going into a small house, smashing it, moving on to the next one, and just jumping and jumping and jumping. It's like, I want to be that bloke that everyone calls and be like, okay, well, no, I can't do that. So, okay, well, call Ziggy.
Yeah.
So a lot of my work that I'm trying to target and focus on at the moment is high-end houses.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that I find is actually a big feather in my cap at the moment, I don't know if you know, but it's actually the first house in Australia being built by Build Buddy.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking... I actually had a look at that. I seen on your thing and I looked into it. I was like, fuck yeah. So this is...
It's a lot bigger than what people realize.
All the people... There's a lot of people out there that are going to be... Oh, yeah, you shouldn't be fucking doing that. Get me wrong. I see both sides of the fucking thing. Is it going to fit? Is it going to completely cap the market and like destroy it all? I don't think it's going to do that, but I do think 100% over time it's going to put the power back in the consumer.
100%.
And that's inevitable. It's like with anything, right? It's always going to fucking everything, right? The consumer will always win.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a matter of time. Someone's finally starting to work out that they can crack the code in regards to the big bad building and construction industry, and that's fucking...
It's just like anything in life. It's like... People, there's always going to be someone to recreate the wheel in a better way, or an easier way, or a more accessible way for somebody to be able to do it. Because people these days want something that they can do. People want something that they can hold the power for. And I feel Build Buddy gives, I guess, that power to the person, and instead of just like having a little bit of power. I guess Build Buddy's remade the wheel, but in a fucking way that's going to, like you said, that's just, it's an inevitability. Like it can only go up. It can't really capsize.
Yeah.
The only way it can capsize is if it fucking someone drastically fucking destroys it, which I think is not going to happen because it's got too much. It's got too much momentum and it's got too much backing behind it from the people that I've seen who are the creators and the backbone of it. Like, it's
And I feel like there's still going to be a time and a place for builders and for that consultant side of it, because not everyone could give a fuck, right? They just want the fucking house built. You know, they're gonna go to the Maldives, see you later, build my house.
If they can save a fuckload more money in doing that, then they're gonna go for it.
Exactly. So I feel like 100% it's gonna, you know, it's got its little benefits, and that's fucking crazy.
It's definitely got a high market niche for it anyway.
Yeah.
Because like everyone knows, construction's only going up.
Oh, yeah. So it's always going up, but anyway, I want to talk to you about the plastering in the high-end sector, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is something that I think you're the first plasterer that we've had on. I've got a lot of questions, and like, because we deal, I wouldn't say we deal directly with plasterers, but you know, in the line of work that I'm in anyway, a lot of the time they're either before us or after us. So, and I see a lot of different subcontractors, a lot of different companies, you know, that we deal with. So, you know, in regards to the high-end sector, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, for guys like yourself, you almost have to go down that path because the volume aspect that other way is almost flooded to a degree, right?
Yes,
you're paying 23 or 24, 25 bucks a square meter. You know what I mean? It's the going rate, blah, 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 blah. You make the call, you get a guy, he subbies it out, et cetera, you know what I mean? It goes on and on and on. Because that's what it all comes down to, right? It's the dollars on the paper. So, but in the high-end game, it's a little bit different.
Exactly.
You've got quality. So, you know, I guess my thing is have you ever thought about going down that path of these other conglomerates that are in Brizzy and Gold Coast that do run that model where they go volume and subby it out? Or did you want to just stay, like, what's the pros and cons of doing that? And I'm assuming you've seen that. There's guys that running around Brisbane, 8 guys in a van, fucking can't speak English. You know what I mean? Like, it happens every time. 100%. It happens every day. Like, we all see it. Even the guys that are listening right now, like, you guys would all see it. You go to a construction site outside of Brizzy, I guarantee you. You go into a house that's getting plastered.
Yep.
We all know who's in there.
And I had the same conversation with the blokes that I delivered my board the other day. I'm not going to say who, but they said the same thing. Like, the amount of houses that they go into and deliver sheets. And not one of them speak a fucking word of English. And they ask them, where do you want this delivered? We're like, where do you want this? Where do you want this? Where do you want this? And they look at them like... And then they even say... They told me the other day, it's like half of them just look at me and they fucking walk away.
Oh, we've had it where they literally, like, you can't actually hold a... literally, there is no... There is a massive language barrier. And I guess, like, my concern is that it's almost not destroying that arm of the industry, but it's like, how can guys like yourself fucking compete, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, how do you compete? Because it's for us, it's a little bit different. Now, I'm not going to say that it's skilled or unskilled, right? Because you'd be like, oh, fucking plastering skill, but I just mean, like, it's a little bit different, I find anyway, for us. Like, we don't get that. We do to a degree on some aspects, but you know, that sort of fucking filters out in the wash. But in plastering, tiling,
Painting
as well. I'm seeing a lot of it at the moment as well. Is it's fucking nearly flushing the market. And it's like, how can other guys like yourself that are doing quality work, that are, you know, trying to be, you know, a representation of like a decent business that pay their guys 100%. Well and not paying them fucking lunch every day and here's $8 an hour. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, it's so frustrating, dude. Like,
I could go off like on a tangent on so many different subjects here.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, it always used to be there. That aspect of the trade industry always used to be there. But I think tiling and plastering is flooded more with that genre is because anyone, like, not anyone can do it, but it's a one-man game. Like, one man can tile a whole fucking house. Yeah. One man can plaster a whole house. And that's why. And then, again, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not really saturated in like your area as opposed to like building, because that's, I feel like that's more of an intricate job. Like, it requires a lot more skill, a lot more thinking and a lot more manpower, where you have to actually have to get the manpower on board as opposed to plastering. It's like, I'll make him come and work with someone and, you know, work with them for like a year and a half or 2 years, ring up an RPL and say, hey, I've been working with old mate for fucking 2 years, can come out and RPL me.
Mm.
And then that moving on to the next step gives them the fucking next option to literally get their trade. Mm. And then once they've got their trade, moves them on to the next step, they can get a QBCC. Next minute, they're fucking taken over.
Mm.
And then again, it's just like a whole conglomerate of saturation. And again, it all that aspect of the trade always was there and is always going to be there. But I feel since COVID came and hit too, that used to be a lot more situated in your bigger cities, which were like a little bit bigger than what Brisbane are now, which is like Melbourne and Sydney. Like, you used to find that a lot in Melbourne and Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
But after COVID hit, obviously, it fucking destroyed Melbourne's economy. It destroyed Sydney's economy, destroyed the construction. So where's the next best thing?
Yeah.
Brisbane.
Yeah. I remember we worked away. We used to work a lot down in Sydney. I grew up down in Sydney. And, you know, so it was always the norm down there. You know what I mean? There's no... You don't have fucking QBCC down in Sydney, right?
Truly.
You've got... Well, you've got like Fair Work, the Ombudsman, and et cetera, et cetera. But there's no, like, actual licensing body that governs it, even though QBCC does absolutely fuck all for everyone up here, right? Yeah. And I'll say it how it is. It's the truth.
But they still want your money at the
end. They still want your money, right? But whatever. You know... They don't really have that down there. So that was very much the norm. You know what I mean? You could cut pricing at the fucking knees.
Yeah.
Guys come in. It is what it is. You're paying $7 an hour. Who gives a fuck, right? It goes away. But then
we'll deal with the aftermath after it.
That's what I mean. But then you come up here and that you almost found that at the border, it was a complete fucking shift in the way. Like, pricing went up. You know, you needed your licensing. You needed everything. Mm. You needed all your shit. It was a lot more legal, like, requirements up here. And, but now, fuck, dude, like, you know, and we're literally, and going back to that QBCC thing, this is only very recent. We're finding that there is a particular plasterer that has been, you know, because QBCC have now, they've really knuckled down on like the minimum requirement financials and stuff, right? On how much work you can actually do each year. So we're finding that there is plasterers that are chopping guys out from underneath the knees on every single job. They're ringing the builder up and saying, oh, you know, he can do it for X, but I'll do it for this, and paying their guys $7 an hour. But then you look them up on QBCC and they've got like the lowest fucking self-certified money rate. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, how are they doing all these jobs? Like, they're self-certified at 200 grand a year. That job that they just did was fucking 200 grand.
Yep.
It's like, what the fuck? All right, guys, congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode.
You know, another thing too is, like, I don't know, like, how are they getting their fucking, like, how are they getting their insurances? And like, what are they setting their insurances up or their liability?
QBCC need a fucking, they need to do a better job at managing that. Mm. Like, and I'll say it how it is, man. Like, that is the fucking reality of it.
Like, but I guess, again, it's just like QBCC is just like a fucking license registration.
Yeah.
It's like they fucking may hand them out and they try and, you know, bullshit the whole world or fucking Australia or Central Queensland. It's like, oh, these are the laws that we're gonna really fucking crack down on, or you've got to make sure that you do this, you've got to make sure you do that. Yeah. But it's like, okay, you can't fucking govern everyone.
Yeah.
And it's just like QBCC, as of, you know, just using as an analogy.
Yeah.
It's like, they're not gonna be able to find anyone. They're not gonna be able to, you know, if fucking Daniel's out here doing a job that's worth, you know, $40,000, but he's bullshitted and said he's got a QBCC and just put a fucking fake number on it.
Mm.
It's like, how many people are gonna actually search that? Is the builder gonna search it up? Like, how are they gonna...
Lucky enough, the builders that I work for now, they're starting to crack down on the number and how much they're fucking licensed to do. And, you know, that's what they're starting to do.
Mm.
And I feel like they rightfully should, because it's going to fucking filter out all the guys that are fucking doing all this shit. It's going to filter them out and have the guys that are actually fucking legit that have to charge so much because they're fucking paying their guys what they need to pay them and they're trying to do the right thing and do a good job.
Mm. It's a little bit scary, but because I feel from my point of view, even just looking at everybody's trade, I feel like it's a lot more, the percentage of the shit builders or the fucking people that are just out there trying to just make a buck and fuck people over, is starting to far outweigh the percentage of people who are actually out there, like you and me, who actually want to provide a professional service, who want to do their job, who want to create a brand and a logo that's trustworthy and create a future. Like, not only for us and our family and our business, but for the upcoming ones that are behind us, like the young blokes.
Oh, and the longevity. Like, I remember saying to a builder literally yesterday, we were talking about another trade, and he was like, oh, you know, I'm just not going to use him on another job. And he's like, I just don't know how they do it. I'm like, well, because these guys get into business, they get their license, they're in business. Give it 12 months, they start winning decent jobs, then they fucking burn out and they burn all their bridges, and they're out of business in 5 years.
Well, everyone wants to do the same thing. Everybody wants to try and do the same fucking copy and paste thing. Everybody, like I said before, they either do an apprenticeship, and then they go straight from their apprenticeship into fucking owning a business, not having any backed experience. Just because you've done a 4-year apprenticeship makes you fucking liable or makes you think that you can own a business. Oh. It's like, dude, do what I did, or do what everybody else did, or the older businesses. Do your apprenticeship, go out and subby for a few years, get a taste and a feel for what the actual building industry is. That way you can get the hands-on experience, you can see how shit's run, you can see who the bad people are, you can see, you know, the waves of the ocean, and then slowly ease into the business. Most people these days go straight from the apprenticeship, they go into starting a fucking business, and then they think they've got the biggest dick in the world, right? And then they want to fucking, and then they want to start fucking flicking out all these fucking cards, getting all this fucking influx of work that they know they can't handle. And then it also comes back to social media, you know, chew off more than you can bite. And they get all these overheads, all these trucks, all these fucking, you know, workers on their on their books. And then 2-3 years later, it's just like, oh, hey, bro, how's your fucking business going? Oh, you know what? I had to push it away, you know, I just felt I'd be more comfortable, go back subcontracting. So you're pretty much fucking
So I've fucking heard that before,
So you're pretty much fucking bit off more than you can chew. You got fucking all your overheads and all your workers up here, and you couldn't keep up. Is that what you're saying? Oh, no. So I'm fucking whatever, dude.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I've heard it all, you know what I mean? Like, you know, for me, it was, as I said to you off camera before, like, it was definitely not a fucking trajectory like this, man. I fucking went, did my apprenticeship, fucking ate shit again. It was up and down, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like that's sort of what I preach on here to all the guys that are listening, that listen every week anyway. You guys would know, like, I never once tell anyone not to start a business, right?
Yeah.
I feel like in Australia, it's like the number one fucking country in the world where tradies, it's such a normal transition, right? Yeah. I literally put up a poll, statistics ages and ages ago. It's 48% of all apprentices decide to start their own business at the end of their apprenticeship. 48%. Yep. So nearly half of every single fucking tradie that comes out of this country will eventually start their own business. There is no other fucking profession in Australia, hospitality, medical, you name it, that had that same fucking mentality, right? They just get a job, they go do their job, right? But it's such a normal thing across social media and everyone sees it. So with that being said, I've never once said to anyone, like, don't fucking do it, don't do it. It's just, it's such a hard thing, because I want guys to taste it and I want them to do it, but you have to, I guess what me and Ziggy are trying to say is, like, you know, don't rush the process. You, number one, don't even know whether or not it is for you, because it might not be, right? You can earn just as much or even more money being a top number two versus working for someone, like, versus working for yourself, right? You get me? So it's like, you just need to work it out, right? You need to understand, is this actually something that I want to do? Is it something that I feel like I can sustain? You know, am I going to put my family through it, put myself through it? Because it's not all fucking glitz and glam and driving Lambos and, you know, fucking doing anything that you want. Like, it's not.
And I think that little bit, right, you said just there too, it's everybody sees where we are right now. Nobody sees the amount of decisions and options that we had to choose from to get to where we are right now. Like, the amount of shit that we had to go through, the amount of people that were trying to fuck us over or trying to stab us in the back, or even just the fucking good old-fashioned Australian hard yakka. Like, how much hard work we've had to do just to get here. It's exactly what you said. Everyone sees us, you know, like, fucking, you know, doing what we're doing now, doing interviews, all the flashy lights, like, everyone thinks that we've got all shit figured out. It's like, nobody has it fucking figured out, man. It's like, you or fucking everybody else is just pretty much dry fucking dogging it, just like everyone else is. It's like, nobody has the answers for the fucking perfect solution. It's like we're just taking it day by day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At the end of the day, you just got to fucking, like you said, take it slow. Figure out if it's actually something that you want to do. But most of the time, they just want to fucking jump the gun and they're already fucking balls deep. It just resorts back to everything that we've already said, talking about now. It's like you either fucking, you're either going to make it or you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people try and force to try and make it, and that's where all the bullshit's happening.
Oh, because they want the logo. They want to fucking say they
want exactly.
Themselves.
They want the logo. They want the flashy cars. They want the money. They want to be able to walk around and be like, "Oh, I've got two blokes working under me."
I work for myself. Yeah, fucking yeah. When anyone says that to me now, I just go, "Oh yeah."
Yeah, right, buddy.
I'm like, "Tell me how you really feel because it's fucking shit."
I always say to them, "I'll see you in 10 years, mate."
Yeah, legit. All right, so let's do a bit of a change of tone. All right. So talk to us about your experience. You said that you've got guys now. You know, it wouldn't be your first rodeo. You've obviously done subcontracting. You've been in the game now. Talk to us about your experience about apprentices in for plastering. Young guys, how do you keep them motivated? Are you finding that guys don't want to fucking do it because it's easier to drop ship and be a stock trader and earn 10 grand a day, sign up to my course, link in bio? Or, you know what I mean? Like, how are you finding that whole thing? You know what I mean?
Moving back, like, again, back when I was a young bloke and an apprentice, there was a higher influx of people who actually wanted
Sorry to interrupt, but let's just talk about that, right? Because you're older than me.
Yep.
Back when you were an apprentice, there was no fucking TikTok. There was no Instagram. Was no day trading, drop shipping. No,
it's
fucking...
like I literally used to get fucking board thrown at me, hammers thrown at me, like fucking literally hit in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And it's like, you do that these days, man. It's like, fuck, bro. It's like, I'm going to sue you for everything and put you in jail.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, I could go off on so many tangents and roads as opposed to when I was an apprentice as to this day.
Yeah, it's day and night, yeah.
And like, the older generation and just me in general, I see a massive difference, even just talking to like the older generation or like new builders, owners and stuff. It's a lot more, like I'm a lot more hands-on. As opposed to people these days or the younger generation, you know, like some of the younger generation or even some business owners, whether you're in, you know, building, real estate, fucking, doesn't matter what business you own, where they feel like if you own a business or something, it's like you can just step back and like everyone else is going to do it.
Mm.
So nobody really has a hands-on approach. But moving away from that, but like when I was an apprentice, you really had to earn your keep.
Mm.
Like it was go, go, go. And if like people would just sling so much shit on you and... everything, I guess, had a process back then. Like, you did this for a year or you did this for 6 months or to be able to get to that next step, you've got to do this. But this day and age, trying to find, like, a decent worker or an apprentice, it's really not directed at any trade per se, whether it's plastering or tiling or building, roofing, bricklaying, concreting. It doesn't really matter. It's all about trying to find that one person who's got that go on them. And... a lot of the younger generation will just go into the trade just to see what it's like. And then eventually fall back on fucking, like you said, drop shipping. You know, can buy it.
Oh, because this is something that I'm super passionate, well, not passionate about, but this is something that I find. It's just like, there is so, I feel now, people can say what they want, but like, I feel
you
like-
you got so many ideas, you just want to
I feel like it, it's. Yeah. I feel like it's more, I feel like it's almost harder being an apprentice these days.
Yeah.
You know, if I was an apprentice these days and I had all the noise that they all have to listen to every single day, would I have stuck through it? Who fucking knows, all right? Because at the end of the day, if you're listening to sign up to my course, I'll show you how to make 10 grand a day and you're in a room sweating your ass out for fucking $12 an hour, would you consistently do it?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But these, and this is what I say to all the guys that I get, like, you know, the physicality of doing your apprenticeship, it is what it is. Nothing changes. Nothing will change. It is what it is. Now I'm finding the biggest drama is the mentality of it. Is it's hard for them to stay mentally in the fucking game.
I think it's
to reap the benefits, you know?
Yeah. And it's exactly like you said too. It's hard to keep that mental passion or that drive to want to stay in the trade.
Yeah.
Mainly because of fucking money.
Mm.
It's like, obviously, money drives the fucking world. It's not fucking rocket science, man. It's like, someone's not going to stick around for someone just because you treat them right and you fucking buy them a carton of piss every Friday afternoon. Yep. Everything's money, man. So it's like, unless you're creating, I guess, a conglomerate of you pay your workers good, you treat them good, you you know, you put on a barbecue in the Friday afternoons, or you just genuinely just want to be a good fucking boss to them.
Mm.
It's like, no one's just going to stick around for a boss just because of money or just because you treat them good. It's like, it's got to have a conglomerate of you pay them good, you treat them good, they're there, they want to have fun too. Because essentially, when you think about it, a majority of your life, or even just your week, compacting it, it's like you're at work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, sometimes Saturday. It's like majority of your tradies are up at like, what, 4:30, 5 o'clock?
Fuck, yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're a tradie, a subcontractor, or a fucking apprentice. You're up, man.
Yeah.
And then you're working all the way until what, anywhere, let's just say, you know, between 2 and 3 o'clock.
Yeah. You're not getting home until fucking 4:30, 5.
Exactly, man, because you're still in traffic. Yeah. So a large part of a young person's life is that fucking work.
Mm.
And because they're so young, they still want to be out having fun. They still want to be out, you know, on the piss or just enjoying life. But a large part of their life is at work. So you've got to create a culture or a lifestyle, or even just, I guess, a safe place for your apprentice and your workers to make them want to come to work.
Mm.
You know, no one's going to come to work if you fucking be like, oh, my boss is a cunt. He pays me like shit and he doesn't do anything for us. A lot of workers still will stick around with that one, because their parents will be like, stick around and fucking finish your trade. And then it just creates another fucking shit tradesman, because they just stick around to get their trade. And then it's just a fucking, it's either a lost cause, or they go into it and then just fucking destroy shit.
Man, I've spoken about this like previously. Like, I feel like Australia as a whole, like, we're in for a massive shock in like 10, 15 years, man, of like labour shortages. And I feel like what we were touching on previously about guys coming into the country is going to get worse.
100%. It's fucking inevitable in that aspect.
It's just because, you know, the fucking, these young guys, man, I definitely don't like sitting here and bagging them and saying, oh, you know, fuck, it's their fault, they fucking blah, 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 blah. As you said, some guys are still dealing with shit bosses and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's just the era that we're in, like, you know what I mean? It's why would you go and bust your balls for fucking $14 an hour, day on, day out, for a shit boss?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
When you can resort back to what you said before, fucking sit at home, wake up whenever you want, fucking do dropshipping, link in bio.
Yeah, legit, like that. I've had apprentices come and go, like literally do that. I've had guys come up to me, resign, and say, this is what I'm doing. See them in 4 months later, they come back to work because it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I can't, when they say that to me, first of all, I say, you're a dumbass, stay your apprenticeship. But, if you fucking constantly got it in your face from 4 o'clock when you wake up in the morning, you're scrolling TikTok and this guy's day in the life of fucking what do I do? You know what I mean?
And a lot of them, like you'll agree, a lot of them are young blokes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're fuck, man. It's like
20 years old in the fucking penthouse in Melbourne.
It's like, I'm getting closer to 40 now, man. But it's like the amount of young blokes that are fucking absolutely crushing it, that are fucking already like to where I want to be, like multi-millionaires. It's just like, fuck, it makes me want to just fucking pack up shop, man, and be like, okay, hashtag Lincoln Boy.
legit. Like, you know what I mean? It's the same fucking thing, man. Like, I sit, this is a personal thing as well. Like, sometimes, man, I sit down and I look through my phone and I can do the same fucking shit. Like, I see guys and I'm like, bro, you're 19 years old. You got this, you got that, you're doing this. Like, but then I slap myself as well, because I'm like, that's not reality.
It's like, you know what I mean?
Like, that is not reality.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's not reality. And, but that's just how I've matured. But, like, what I mean is, if I was 18...
Would you take the same opportunity?
Bro. I'd be fucking signing up to 100%. Every link in bio. Give me all the fucking money. I'd be doing it all.
It's like what you said before, too. It's like, back when I was an apprentice, I didn't have that opportunity.
I didn't have it. It wasn't there.
Like, it's fucking gone, man. It's like, it's only been, the last couple of years where all that shit sort of actually started to take off.
Yep.
Like, back when I was an apprentice, man, it's like, fuck. My first job was when I was, just on 13, fucking McDonald's, man, flipping burgers and fucking cooking
fries. The motivation was watching the tradies rock up in a fucking brand new Land Cruiser 100%. And you going, I want that.
And
that's the motivation.
And back in them days, man, back when I was a young bloke, this is going to sound so cliche and, complete off topic, but all the girls were like, I fucking love me a tradie.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, when I was a young bloke,
tradies,
man,
get the ladies.
Fuck yeah, man. And it's just like, back when I was a young bloke, it's like, I'd see the tradies with the fucking nice cars and the hot misses and the dogs driving around, like, with all this money and, like, I'm going to do a cashy on the weekend. And even as a young bloke, I'd be like, I'd overhear or just see all that and I'd be like, fuck, I want to be a tradie.
Yeah.
Like, these cunts seem cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And now this day and age, it's just like, changed, nah, man, it's just like the new cool as fuck. I want to be a fucking sit behind a computer, either be a keypad warrior.
Yeah.
Fuck everyone over. Fake it till you make it. Take everyone's money with absolutely no intention of giving back.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to do trades anymore because, one, it's just like the stigma around it is, why sit there and, like you said before, why sit there and fucking do trade where you've got to sweat your ass off in the sun or be caught up in a room all day, wake up early as fuck, get home late as fuck, when you can wake up in your room, go and get Maccas, sit behind a keypad, and make like the same amount of money, if not more, than what we are sweating your ass off in the sun.
Yeah, but I say to the apprentices that I got, I say to them now, like, if these guys that are listening and you apprentices are listening, like, if you guys stay in the game and keep your head down, do your job, and fucking see your apprenticeship through and stay in the game long enough to reap the fucking benefits, I'm telling you, I promise you, quote me on this, in 10 years' time, there is going to be an industry fucking shortage, right? There's going to be... Yep. Houses still need to be built. I don't give a fuck. All this stuff coming out the other day about, oh... What do we
people are still getting fucking born.
We literally did tell the other day, someone reached out to me, oh, fucking AI is going to replace your job, and they're going to, it's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen, right? So houses still going to need to be built. They're still going to need tradesmen in the world. Fucking, so what's going to happen? Prices are going to go through the fucking roof, right? Regardless of what we were just talking about these people coming in from different countries, this, that, and the other, regardless of that, there's not going to be enough, right? There's not going to be enough. So, if you stay in the game long enough, you finish your apprenticeship, you fucking keep your head down and keep going. Don't just finish your apprenticeship and be like, oh, I'm done now. I'm going to go and smoke weed and surf waves for the next fucking 10 years. Do something. Stay in it. I promise you, you'll fucking reap the benefits. You're going to be getting paid more than a fucking doctor. I promise you.
100%.
I promise you. And
you're not going to have the hex seats either, guys.
Oh, dude. One of my best mates, he's a fucking... He fucking listens to this. He's a surgeon at the Royal Brisbane, and he's fucking hex is through the roof.
I've known some people that are like up there in the fucking medical industry, and they're just like, bro, it's like the amount of shit that I had to fucking go through just to get this, and I'm qualified, and I'm still getting fucked over by the government with hex debts.
Oh man, he'd be the first one to tell you. Listen, he don't drive a fucking Ferrari. He's not doing anything like that. He drives a Corolla. And he just fucking, you know what I mean? He still works long ass hours on weekends and he's on call. So,
It's like the very small percentage of, going off topic, like the very small percentage of people in the medical industry that are young, that are making it. It's like, majority of the time, and it's mummy the same, and dad is very fucking rich and all your shit's paid off, man. Yeah. That's why they are
and
where
it's
they
the
at.
Same in every industry, is it not? You know what I mean?
100%.
Everyone looks at the 0.1%er. And they assume that fucking, everyone fucking, that's easy. You know what I mean?
That's the end result if I do this. No, bro, that's not the end result if you do this, man. It's like you're looking at the small minority.
Yeah, legit.
It's like, I'll give you the thumbs up for being really fucking positive and looking at it in a positive aspect, but no.
Yeah, it's fucking shit. But anyway, all right, carrying on. All right, so what are currently some of the challenges that you're facing in your... you know, in your career at the moment in regards to getting guys working with builders? You know, are you finding that builders are, you know, they're chopping you for price? Are you, you know, how's that fucking going? Because a lot of the stuff that you're doing is down the coast, is it? Like, you don't do anything up in Brizzy at all, or?
No, well, you see, I service Central Queensland.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've got jobs.
Oh, so you live on the coast, but you're servicing Central Queensland.
Yeah, so it's like, I do jobs in Brisbane, I do jobs in Gold Coast, I do jobs in Rocky, Gladstone, Emerald, Longreach, Winton, like Barcaldine. I literally service everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, just now I've got
jobs. So what do you do with the guys? Explain to me that. Like, what do you do with the guys that you got? Do you ship them around, or do you subby out, like, some of the big, like, the...
It's just like anyone, man. It's copy and paste from what's been happening for fucking years.
Yeah,
use a little bit of your own manpower, but also subbies too. So it's all about finding the right blokes to work for you and with you.
Yeah.
Obviously, your workers are going to be your workers. You can tell them, you know, okay, get ready. We've got this fucking job in about a month. So, you know, get ready to pack your bags. We're fucking off for a week or two.
Yeah.
And then it's also about finding the right relationship with the right mates that you've already got a rapport with, subcontractors. Hey, bro, what are you doing in about a month's time? Do you mind if I pinch some of your blokes? Yeah, cool, awesome. And that's a little bit of obviously helping each other in the building industry because, fuck, it's like everybody needs to help each other.
Yeah, legit.
But everyone's too busy trying to fucking cut each other's throat.
Oh.
But even just with servicing like such a broad place, I don't really find it challenging because my old boy's done it for fucking years, man. It's like, I grew up around that. So it's like, it's like fucking walking for me.
Yeah.
You know, for some people it may be hard, but for me it's like wake up, okay, this is what we're doing next month. We've won this fucking tender in like, you know, 2 or 3 months' time. So it's just all about scheduling,
yeah,
time management, and fucking dotting your I's and crossing your T's.
Yeah. And how have you gone, you know, have you had any issues in the past in regards to with that subby model, guys taking work from underneath you? Like trying to poach
it's always work, gonna like to it's poach. Always gonna happen, bro. Yeah. Like you're always gonna eventually find out who the shit cunts are,
yeah,
and who the good people are to keep in your corner. It's an inevitability, man. You know, it's just like going into a fucking boxing ring and being like, okay, am I gonna get hurt or am I not gonna get hurt?
Yeah.
You know, like it's an inevitability, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And but I think a lot of it comes back to the more you stay in the game and the longer you are in the game.
Well, that's it. You've got to eat those fucking punches.
Exactly, man. The faster you can work out, okay, he seems like a really good bloke, but he's got a really fucked name for him, so I'm just going to stay away from him.
Yeah.
Or, fuck, seems like a really good guy, but I've got a really bad feeling or energy about him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, from my point of view, I feel it's easier. Like, I go a lot off energy and how a person treats me off, you know, first meeting them, and if they're talking shit, like how they treat you, talk to you, if they big note themselves. You can gauge a lot from a person just from their energy, how they talk and present themselves, you know. So I do a lot of my business model, I guess, and if I'm going to eventuate or progress a relationship with that person, just from that, I guess. It sounds a little bit cliche, but I'm very
100%,
like I'm very big on energy, man. Like very fucking big on energy. Like if a person seems shifty, I'm just gonna be like, fuck, he's promising me the world and all this work, but I'm not gonna fucking put all my eggs in that basket. If he wants me, he can chase me.
Yeah.
And then within that time frame, I monitor it, you know, like how nice is he to, like what jobs has he got going on, is he good to his blokes, does he pay on time? Like there's so much involved with them relationships to be able to progress, you know, your work and keep shit flowing correctly.
I literally, like, I'm a strong believer in that too. I remember being probably about 3 years ago, I had I was doing a deal, and I remember I had all my shit together, all my pricing, I had my little folder, I was ready to rock and roll, and we were meeting, I was meeting these directors of this estate development. And I went in there, it was like pretty large contract that I was trying to get. And I remember the meeting, I walked in there assuming that we were talking about pricing. Sat down, I had all my folders, we started out, I opened up, I'm not going to name his name, but he stood up and he goes, you can put that away. And he said, we're not talking about pricing. I went, that's what the meeting's for.
Now, why the fuck am I here then?
He said, nah. He said, we just want to have a chat. We just want to see talk about you, and, you know, you can talk about us. And we literally sat there for like fucking half an hour talking about what I like to do, who am I. It was so fucking weird. It caught me off guard. Yeah. And so at the end of it, he basically got up. He said, yeah, you're really nice. You're a really nice guy. Fucking, we really look forward to doing the job with you. That was it. And I remember him ringing me after, not him, it wasn't the main guy, it was like his like offsider rang me after it. He goes, how was that? I said, that was fucking weird. And he goes, like,
fucking left field.
Yeah, and he goes, he basically said the same thing. He said, yeah, because it wasn't about the numbers, right? It was about whether or not you were going to be the right person to do the job for us or not.
And they're the relationships that you want to continue with, but it's very hard to find them relationships these days. And a lot of reason, you know, this may be incriminating myself, but I don't really give a fuck. But that's one of the reasons why I want to try and focus more on high end.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you agree with this, you will find a lot more genuine blokes and family orientated blokes who are more high end because they want to take that time to create a brand. They want to take that time to create a logo. They want to take that time to be more hands on, to create, like, you know, whether it's a house or something, they take that time to build it and do it correctly.
Yeah.
And that's not only going to reflect like in their business, but it reflects in their personal life and their family life too. A lot of the high end and some of the biggest builders that I've worked with and, you know, got relationships with, like, the fucking great blokes, man, they're like really nice blokes. And if you have a look at a larger minority or majority of the builders who are just, you know, fucking pump it out, it's like they couldn't give a fuck, man, who you are. All you are is a number on a paycheck. It's like, okay, how can you put more money into my pocket?
Yeah,
that's all it comes down to.
Yeah, legit. So it's all a numbers game, you know what I mean?
Pretty much.
As I said, it's all about that number on the fucking purchase order, and you know what I mean,
whoever, if you can fucking undercut Joe from here, then I'll give you the contracts for the next fucking 100 houses for the next 6 months.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's why that whole, you know, builders love it. They love not not unique builders or high end builders, but the larger builders in Australia.
Yeah.
They love that fucking that arm. You know what I mean? Why wouldn't you? It's fucking more money in their pocket. And
they don't give a fuck.
Nah.
And then, like we were talking about before, that then that resorts back to a lot of the influx of people that are coming in. You know, like foreigners and stuff that are just coming in undercut. It builders don't give a fuck if it's undercut or if it's a shit job, because they've got that margin to allow for to fix the shit up anyway.
Yeah.
So they're going to come in, undercut it. They're still making money. They're going to roll over that money that they've undercut them from for the margin to then fix the fuck up or to fix the half average job, dude. And they're still in profit, bro.
Yeah.
So they don't give a fuck.
We could talk about the fucking, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? And the government fucking gives them handouts and helps them and props them up and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we'll wipe off this. And
I don't know if you should put this in there, but it's just like the government's inviting them to come in. It's like, come into our country, bro. We'll give you this much fucking money. We'll give you this. We'll give you this. And then it's just like, fuck it. It's like, and then they call up their fucking people and they call up their cousins. They're like, do this. And it's just keeps coming and coming and coming. And the government that's in power at the moment's not helping the construction industry either.
Yeah.
They're fucking all against it.
Oh. Could talk about fucking government for days. But anyway. All right. Well, fuck, it's been, what do we got?
Where are we at?
Jeez. I've been cruising.
Time flies when you're having fun talking shit.
Oh man, it's great. It's great. Nah, it's been good, man. Like, I feel like the guys that are listening anyway have got, you know, I'm hoping you guys have got some fucking insight into what's been going on. So,
well, I hope I didn't talk too much shit, because look, I'm a virgin for this guy, so be easy.
Nah, that's all good. All right, here we go. So we've got a few fire round questions to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
We do this with everyone, don't worry. They're relevant to you to a degree. All right, so what you need to do is just answer them to the best of your ability. Here we go.
Speed round, fire them off.
What's your favourite tool for plastering?
Oh, a box, 100%.
A box?
Yeah.
No, the old guys be like, yeah, fucking boxes for pussies. Yeah, fucking pork and trout, mate.
Yeah, I used to love the box back when I was a young bloke.
Yeah. It's the only fucking box I used to know. All right, morning person or night owl?
Oh, definitely 100% morning person.
Yeah, ice baths.
Fuck yeah, I wake up. Because I'm ADHD, so I wake up, it's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to piss every cunt off.
Yeah. Do you do ice baths?
Fuck yeah.
Do you?
Ice baths, man. Yeah.
Talk 100%. To us about your morning routine. Yeah, get up, 4 o'clock, yeah. Jump in the ice bath.
Everyone's like, are you fucking serious? You come for an ice bath? Are you fucking stupid? Kind of like, come on, man, let's go.
Yeah, no, that's sick. All right. What's your top tip for someone that's wanting to start out in your trade?
Find a decent bloke.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot easier said than done, but it's just like anything, you know. Mm. Find a person that you feel is going to benefit you. Obviously, you're already giving it a crack because you feel like it's something that you want to do. Find a decent bloke to work for, and it's pretty much self-explanatory. You know, if they're decent from the way that they treat you.
Mm.
So just find someone who's got a good reputation, who's a genuine bloke, and who actually takes the time to teach you. That's all. Yeah. That's pretty much the advice that I can give.
Yeah. Well, what's your ideal weekend getaway? Beach or bush?
Because
you come from the bush.
I'm originally a country boy, so I'm going to be biased and go bush.
He's the most fucking unlooking country boy I've ever met.
I get that so much.
If you guys that are listening, have a look at him, all right? He fucking, he's Gold Coast through and through.
You see me walk in the room, right? And I'm covered in tattoos. Yeah. And as soon as I start talking, you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I'm the most bogan bloke. I'm just I don't know if you could put this in, but I'm like camouflaged Gold Coast fuck boy. But I'm originally...
Legit.
The personality and fucking, I don't know, what is it, your accent of a fucking bogan.
Yeah.
Anyone would think I'm from Logan.
Nick's like, hey.
Nick's like, hey, shark.
Yeah. All right, what's one skill every tradesperson should have?
Oh, fucking common sense.
Yeah, fuck, that's a good one. I was waiting to see. Yeah, that's a good one. That is a fucking good one.
Common sense, man. Like, fucking just have some common sense. Everyone can agree with this, and it's just over not even apprentices or fucking labourers. Have some common sense, man. Everyone comes to work with the same mentality of just like... that's their mentality, and that's why it's just... have some fucking common sense, man. Yeah. It's like, it's not rocket science, man. They send monkeys to the moon, bro.
Oh.
You know? And it's like my trade, just like classroom, for example, it's like you get some people, some labourers that come in, it's like you just want to treat them like the basic shit, cheating.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, man, it's not hard. We're putting sheets on the wall, bro.
Yeah.
But it's just a common sense, man.
Measure it, cut it, screw it in. Yeah.
For 3 hours, bro. Look, listen, learn.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, and even then, it's hard. All right, sweet. All right, guys. Well, that is it again for another episode. And I hope you guys got a little bit of insight into what happens on site at ProFast Plastering with Ziggy. So thank you, Ziggy, for coming on.
No, thanks. It was a pleasure having you. Too much like a dickhead.
Yeah, it's been good, man. Time flies. But if you guys enjoyed it, please share it with someone. And thanks again, Ziggy.
Give us a thumbs up and link in bio, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode, as this will be one that you don't want to miss.